Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Ms. Dana has informed me that she has one more thought that she would like to add, RE Social Security.
I went down a little deep dive during the break because I really don't understand how there's people that should be 346 years old and they're still having these checks cashed. Like, I don't understand. Someone just needs to do a simple audit. And if you're dead and those checks are still being cashed, someone is breaking the law.
It's probably not a simple audit when you consider that there are tens of millions of people who draw Social Security.
And who game the system, right? Yep. So in South Carolina, they busted one such woman. She was collecting her dead mom's Social Security for years. And I asked Scott, like, how does this happen after someone dies? Aha! They shared a joint bank account.
$74.5 million, by the way.
74 and a half million people draw Social Security.
So Cynthia Holland, who worked for the county like for a whole long time in Aiken County, is accused of collecting her late mother's checks for years and years. She's been indicted. She took some $168,000. All of that money flowed through by electronic deposit into a joint bank account that Holland shared with her late mother. Then Holland transferred the money into her own bank account. Okay? She is 61. She has been found guilty. Ruth, by the way, sweet Ruth, died in 2013 at the age of 70.
12 years ago.
She's been dead 12 years. Now, what's funny about this particular story is that Ms. Holland tried to get the court to believe she did not intend to steal the money. In 2023, after she learned she was under federal investigation, she paid $100,000 of it back to the SSA.
Where'd she get the money?
How do you find that out? Do you get a text?
Here's what they did. A joint program known as, quote, the Death Match Project. They really were creative there, the Death Match Project, whereby the Inspector General for the Social Security Administration compared state death verification records with payments made to South Carolina residents, spit it out, Holland's name. Oh, this woman says she's been dead since 20, wait a minute.
Where did that Southern drawl just come from?
Well, I'm talking about South Carolina. Here's why I bring this up again. They somehow think direct depositing is going to cut down on fraud when they stop issuing paper checks this week. They're going to stop issuing paper checks right now.
Tomorrow,
no more paper checks.
Correct.
Don't you think electronically depositing all of this will lead to more fraud if they don't do a regular audit?
From the text line, I worked for the Social Security Department for 18 months. If you saw the people who work there, you would not be asking why.
Oh, God.
Wow. That's below the belt, man. That is not okay. I'm sure they're perfectly good, hardworking people who care about their country as much as you do. A young trapeze artist has died after plummeting to the ground in front of horrified spectators during a daring circus performance in Europe. Marina B. was 27 years old, died immediately after falling to the floor Saturday night in front of a crowd during a solo performance at the Paul Busch Circus Show in Bautzen, Germany. The horrific accident, which is still under investigation by local authorities, forced the well-known circus to cancel all subsequent shows.
Oh.
Believe it or not, Germany has a circus association. And Ralph Huppertz, who is the chief, believes that Marina, who again was 27, may have suffered a health problem in the middle of her routine.
Oh, God.
It is unusual for a well-trained artist like Marina to not survive that sort of fall. Marina was not using a safety rope.
I was just going to say, why still do trapeze things without a safety harness? It's just as daring to me. If I'm looking up and I'm seeing someone do acrobatics and she looks like Mary Lou Retton up there grabbing onto this bar, it's not going to bother me that there's some kind of wire for their safety. In fact, I would prefer it to avoid the horror that the children in the audience were subjected to.
Specifically
when she fell.
For trapeze, it would get in the way.
Probably.
But that's not why they do it. They do it for the daring do and the death defying.
Well, there's a couple on America's Got Talent that do trapeze work. They're brilliant.
To the circus commissioner's point, these artists, these athletes, these performers, because it's very athletic, also know how to fall. So the fact that she died means that she was not bracing, that's not the proper term, but you turn your body, you maneuver your body in such a way that it lessens the impact.
Oh, Sam, when you're flipping and flopping around up in the air and doing your acrobatics, is there really...
Yes.
You really have a split second to figure out how to fall to try to minimize the impact at 20 feet?
If you are someone who does this very well, I know a guy who is a trampoline wall specialist.
Yeah.
If you are someone who knows how to do this very well, your aerial awareness is insane. Like, he can do like 10 flips and land on his feet off a trampoline.
Why not just have a net at the bottom?
Crazy idea. I know.
Well, if it happened every day, they probably would. But yeah. It's a rare thing.
One of the first stories I ever covered, and God, I still remember the guy's name. We were at some sort of acrobatic thing in Topeka, and they were doing the high wire act, where you had like a pyramid of people on top of each other on this high wire.
On a unicycle.
Some of it was that, but some of it was also like just like, okay, one dude, and then a girl would climb on his shoulders. Then a guy would climb on her shoulders. And now you've got 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 people in this pyramid up on one wire. And I know the wires are thicker than they look.
But what makes what makes it exciting is, you know, if there's a mistake.
Oh, God. They collapse like a
people
cheap
are going
suit.
To die.
Yes.
That's what makes it exciting.
It used to be great entertainment 100-plus years ago before TV and radio and all of that.
Man, they collapsed. I'm just going to tell you right now. Something went wrong and someone zigged instead of zagged.
Well, guys,
and
we do pay people millions, some hundreds of millions of dollars to run aggressively into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it football.
And it's awesome. And I watched about 12 hours of it yesterday. I'm not going to lie. But back to what you just said, Dan. Yes, you know, 150 years ago, this before the advent of radio and TV and everything else, this was entertaining. But there was also a pretty dark component to the circus.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And it was
the sideshows.
The freak shows, I think, is what they were called.
Well,
You would pay to go see the Elephant Man or the Siamese Twins or the world's tallest man or the world's shortest person.
But we're talking about high wire acts, and they used to string the wires between buildings in New York City. And just look at Evel Knievel just 50 years ago.
When they fell, I will tell you, everyone survived. I do not know how they all survived. And we ended up doing an interview with one of the survivors from his hospital bed. Now, he had broken every single bone in his body.
I bet that morning hurt. All right. I'm going to read this story, and then, Sam, you're free to weigh in for a brief minute, and then we're moving on. The 6-7 trend has made its way to Australia.
I don't know what that is.
6-7.
6-7.
It comes from a song Skrilla called Doot Doot 6-7.
It's called Doot Doot 6-7. Okay.
And it features a recurring lyric, 6-7.
Okay.
It has become so popular, it's appearing in TikTok, Instagram. It also has an association with American basketball star LaMelo Ball, due to his impressive height of 6 feet 7 inches.
Yeah, that one's quite a stretch.
As for what it means, nobody really knows.
So that we can get a better understanding of what it means, do you mind if I dramatically read you some lyrics around where they would say 6-7?
I want you to include the doot doot. That's my favorite part.
It will all be included.
But let me read this one sentence, and then you're welcome to do whatever it is that you're going to do.
Yeah.
It can be described as a casual descriptor to say that something is so-so, refer to someone who is tall, or simply as a joke without a punchline. That doesn't make sense.
Like, you would say, that idea is just 6-7.
Sam?
From Skrilla. Mm-hmm. Shooter, stay strapped. I don't need mine. Bro, put belt right to they behind. The way that switch, I know he dying. Oh my God, 6-7. I just bipped. Right on the highway. Bip, bip. Skrrt. Bip, bip, bip. I just bipped.
What does that mean?
On the highway. Trackhawk in the driveway. Pull up. Doot, 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 doot.
6-7.
I can keep going.
Poetry.
The next line.
Can't we listen to it? Can you play it?
Doot, 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 doot. Dump truck, baby shark, dude.
What?
Dude, dude, dude. I popped the perk, popped a blue. I geek, geek, crusty too. Say it in rap, bro. We can smack out, huh?
What?
Pull up clean in my white tee, rolling off a honey, too. Huh?
I mean,
I'm reading along with him. Those are the lyrics.
Word for word.
It gets you right here. Right here in the heart.
Oh, yes. That is
the poetry.
Brilliant.
None of that even made sense.
That is brilliant right there. Why can't we listen to it? Does it mean something naughty or something?
I know we can.
We don't know what it means.
I have no idea what it means. I looked up some of the words to make sure I wasn't about to say a cuss word. And
schools have tried to ban the phrase.
It's listed as an explicit song, which makes me...
Well, then let's be careful. I'm not willing to lose the license today.
It's probably just the latest annoying viral slang phrase.
Oh, I heard last night that's not even the cool phrase anymore. Apparently, it's like 41.
41's the new one.
6-7 is so yesterday.
Okay. And they're doing it because the adults are like, what? What's going on? That's why.
I'm just going to keep saying it all day.
All right, okay.
You're so 6-7.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, story here from the Kansas City Star. It's written by Toriano Porter. Full disclosure, used to work here. Good cat. And Toriano writes, I'd hate to be a pessimist here, but things are not looking all that great for Timothy Freeze of Kansas City. You see, Freeze is the 65-year-old man that I wrote about recently, whose home in the 3200 block of Donnelly Avenue had been overrun by squatters. He told me he wants to sell the home, which is located not far from Stadium Drive, and rid himself of the problems. But so far, and not surprisingly, there have been no buyers. Said Freeze during a recent visit to his house that's been overrun by squatters, I don't know what I'm going to do. Toriano goes on to say, my goal in highlighting this untenable situation and the unhealthy living conditions was to implore the city to clean up the mess without getting Freeze in further trouble with code inspectors or having officials place an undue financial burden on him. That has not changed. After recent visits to the home, it has become obvious to me that Kansas City's Neighborhood Services Department and police may have to take a more aggressive approach to this illegal encampment. And I say that with genuine concern for Freeze, who is ill with a heart problem, and the people who are living in and outside of his house.
Scott, people just sort of set up camp and stayed, and I want to read one sentence from Toriano's story months ago when he first introduced us to this man, because I missed it. It's a great story. Acting on a tip from a neighbor, I recently went to his home. What I found, Toriano writes, was beyond the scope of what any of us could imagine unless we saw it with our own eyes. Piles of trash litter the property. The stench of dog feces and other rotten smells overwhelmed me during multiple visits. Aside from the unsanitary debris on the site, there was a woman taking shelter in a disabled and tattered van in the front yard of the home. The side windows of the van are gone, replaced by cardboard boxes. Around back, multiple people reside in a tent erected on site. According to Freeze, at least three people and their dog use the tent and just camp out in his backyard. Others come and go at will. Some of the people shacking up on Freeze's property had permission to be there.
From whom?
Scott, others have commandeered his space. There are more people in his basement.
Where is the thin line? And by the way, I find squatting, how that is even remotely legal, I will never understand. If I came home and somebody is in my house, that's trespassing.
This would have been a tidy little house too, by the way, you guys.
Where is the thin line legally between squatting and trespassing? Because if you're parking in somebody's house, to me, that sounds like trespassing. Where is this squatting law? How long must I be away from my home for you to occupy it and somehow have a modicum of a legal reason to be there?
The answer is it depends. But in many cases, and I'm not making this up, I've looked it up in the past to share it with you all. In many cases, it's as simple as bringing a toothbrush.
Yeah.
You can just break into my house and have a toothbrush, and you're legally allowed to stay there. That doesn't make sense.
If you, in theory, go out for the night and somebody breaks in and puts a toothbrush in your toothbrush holder, says, "No, officer, that's my toothbrush. I live here." Again, in many cases, that falls under the squatting law.
One neighbor I spoke with, Toriano wrote, was concerned, and rightfully so, about the well-being of anyone who lives near the home, just lives near it. Mm-hmm. The rat population has exploded. What is going on there is not right, Freeze's neighbor Ron Sondag said. The guy that is living there needs help. So,
and great point from the text line. It's not legal. However, for whatever reason, they have created a second separate set of rights for a squatter, so it takes many, many, many months for the court to figure it out. So you will get them out of your house next year.
But Sam and Dana, hang on for a second. Hang on.
My God.
If I rent an apartment or a home that you happen to own, okay, there is a contract that I would have to sign that says this is a 12-month lease. I'm going to pay $1,500 a month. Oh, man, they have torn that yard up.
Scott, I think he allowed one or two people to stay there that were down on their luck, and then they told friends, and now there's, what, 50 people there?
The road to hell is paved with good intention.
Exactly. But to Sam's point, once they are there, how did they get inside the home into the basement?
Well, if he invited them in to help, to help them out.
You just need one.
Sam, have you seen these photos?
I don't know if I want to.
It's gross, dude.
God.
I can see why there are rats.
And somebody on the text line said, just give him a can of poop spray. I don't think that's going to work based on the description I've heard so far.
Oh, it's just...
Well, that's like Febreze over there.
The first act, this is in the original story. He's got so many things he has to do, and he's an aging person that needs
help. He's 65 with health issues.
He's got health issues. The first thing he would need to do is find representation, and someone would have to file trespassing charges against their squatters. I don't even know that he knows who they are, Scott.
Probably doesn't.
Let's say there's 75.
They don't know who they are.
Let's say there's 75 people on that property.
Well, I bet that's a stretch, but I get your point.
In and out.
Okay.
Not all at once, but... Who are they? I don't know. He goes by Bob. How do you file court papers in that case?
They probably don't know who they are. I would bet they have no identification.
Oh.
They have no money.
But the text line has a great point. It's not like police officers drive around with a list of occupants in every home.
No, but what I'm saying is this is my home. These people are in it. Without my permission, mm-hmm. I want them removed.
But if they had his permission at one point...
He didn't give permission to all of them.
This is why Toriano said, I don't even know that I want to write about this. It is a tangled legal...
web.
Yeah.
And police officers can and have gotten in trouble for removing these people.
On what account? For what?
Squatters' rights.
Listen to this. He told Freeze, Toriano, I am not here to get you in trouble, okay? Mm-hmm. I stand by that, Toriano wrote. My only goal was to help bring attention to what seems to be an illegal encampment on the premise, mm-hmm. not send an older adult with health issues to jail. You send him to jail.
What charge?
The city is now saying, you have to clean this up or we're going to fine you.
Oh,
and Toriano's like, what money?
Got it.
He has other charges in his past he hasn't shown up to court for. I don't know that he has transportation. If he leaves that home, it will be overrun.
It is overrun. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586-7798. My name is Scott Park. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III here on KMBZ. So we're talking about this follow-up story in the Kansas City Star about a man here in town by the name of Timothy Freeze. He is 65 years old. He has some health issues, and he owns a home in the 3200 block of Donnelly Avenue. That probably doesn't mean anything. It's out by the stadium, out by the stadiums. And his home, which is, you know, modest, cute, once was probably cute, has been overrun. Literally overrun by squatters. And he wants to sell the house and just move on with his life, but nobody's willing to buy this house because, I don't know, it's filled with rats and people he doesn't know. And so nobody is even putting a bid down on his house. Says Freeze in a recent visit with Toriano Porter with the Kansas City Star, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm confused where that line is between squatting and trespassing. Because one apparently is legal and one is not.
And by the way, I'm not making this stuff up. The text line is lighting me up. I Googled it. I Googled it again to make sure that I wasn't misremembering. Depending on the jurisdiction you're in some places, it is simple as a toothbrush. Also, text line's mentioning you have to receive mail. Okay, well, plan to break into the house and send yourself some mail 3 days before.
But let me ask you this. Not. I don't mean to be cruel or mean or any of those things. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone parked a disabled RV right there on the lawn. It's an RV that does not run. RV on blocks. And then multiple people moved into that RV. They are calling that home. So that's not even in the home. That is in an abandoned vehicle that has been placed on the lawn of the home. Would it be legal to just tow those vehicles out of there? They're not his. He did not ask for there to be a disabled van or RV on his lawn. Why not just have them towed away?
Well, can you park your car in my driveway without my permission?
I think it would be easier to get rid of the RV and the van than it would be to evict the people that have started living in his basement.
But I would disagree with you in this regard. When you physically walk into my, and I think both should be easy to remove, But when you physically walk into my house without my permission, now maybe, granted, there were one or two people that maybe this, and we're spitballing, this Timothy Freeze, you know, had a soft spot in his heart for them and was going to try to give them a second chance, you know, get back on their feet, whatever. But when there's 20 other people that are coming by because word gets around in a small country town, and you're in my house without my permission, how do I not have the right to have you removed? Just because you filled out some credit card application and are now getting mail at my house doesn't mean you live there.
Prove it.
Listen to the neighbor. These people need to go. I don't know where they would go, but they need to leave.
The biggest issue here is prove it.
Prove that I have allowed you. Where is the contract that allows you to live in my home? Where is
you didn't give me one.
Where is any sort of correspondence whatsoever that you and I have a relationship of any capacity?
It was a verbal agreement. You had a soft spot in your heart. I've been here for weeks, and now he just wants to kick me out, officer, because we had a disagreement, and I have nowhere to go. I live here. My toothbrush is here.
Fine, I'll give you 2 weeks, then get out. I'm telling you to get out. This is my home. I mean, Sam, if a couple is in a relationship, right, and this will never happen, but, you know, I own my home. And T lives with me, but she's not on the deed. God forbid we were to break up, and I don't ever foresee that happening. Does she just say, well, I've been living here for more than a year now, and my toothbrush is here, and I do get mail?
Legally, yes.
Legally, you would have to go through the process of eviction.
Of eviction, yep.
And how do you evict people whose names you do not know?
In this case, that's what I'm talking about. Part of the problem.
Michael in Denton, Texas. Man, we've gone nationwide. We're like Alonzo Washington. Hi, Michael.
Hey, hi, Michael.
So I'm retired from police, from law enforcement in the Kansas City area, but Sam's exactly right. To your point, Scott, it was you didn't have permission. You didn't give these people permission. That's where it comes in. Once you grant somebody permission to stay at your house, if I'm Scott, you and I are buddies, and I'm graced with the ability to stay in Western Shawnee in your house. If I'm only supposed to stay there for a week, but I decide, you know what, I'm not going to move out, it's a civil matter.
Yep.
You have to, if I want to force it, I'm going to tell you, Scott, you have me evicted. And that could take up to 30 or 60 days.
Or longer. Michael, there are documentaries about this. It can be a nightmare to get somebody out. And there are scam artists who do just that. They will move in, pretend to be your roommate, and then they're like, nah, what are you going to do?
Right. What this gentleman needs to do is he needs to get an advocate for him, call the police department, do a civil standby, identify everybody in there, start giving out trespass warnings, and he's going to, you know, the ones that decide they want to stay and fight it, then he's going to have to get them evicted.
Yeah.
All right, Michael.
I also wonder, is there a very fine line between giving someone permission to stay on your land and not really saying no when they show up? What is the difference between I'm inviting you to stay here?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the line between I am inviting you to stay here and you wake up one day and look out and there's 10 people that have been living in a tent for a month and you just haven't said anything? And I bet you that is a very gray area.
But
he didn't say they couldn't be there, Scott.
I understand, but when it comes to your property, are you not allowed, property that you own, Dana Wright?
I know.
Are you not allowed to change your mind and say, hey, it's just not working out?
Yes.
It's time for you to go.
The laws have to change.
Exactly.
And some states are doing it.
Exactly.
Because Sam said this for a long time, scammers are exploiting loopholes in the law. Now, do I think these homeless people are well-read enough on squatters, right? I don't, but I think what happened is he let one or two stay. They went and told their friends. They went and told their friends, and now it's just a big old party at Timmy's house.
The guy in New York who took over, what was it, like a $4 million home for 2 years? He was driving a Range Rover. He knew every single squatter's law possible and lived there for 2 years without paying a dime.
All right, so let me throw it. You know, sometimes the points are made by using the absurd, okay? So let me throw out something that is borderline absurd. And you tell me if in some states, maybe even Missouri, poor Timothy Freeze, this would be okay. I am homeless, okay? And I find a house that is kind of nice. I want to live there. And so what I do is I get a credit card application, all right? And I fill it out, and I have, well, maybe credit card. If I'm homeless, it might be hard to get a credit card. Regardless, I go to a store and fill out some sort of paperwork about, you know, maybe getting like a Hy-Vee Perks Plus card or something like that. And I have them mail that card to said address. It happens to be Dana's house, okay? Now, I've been, I'm a squatter. And I've been watching, and sometimes Dana will go out back and work in the yard and not lock the door because she's out back in her own yard, right? The backyard door is unlocked. I walk up with my toothbrush and just walk. She's over there doing gardening, and I walk in the back door and put my toothbrush in your spare bathroom. The next day, my card arrives in the mail to your address. Do I now have a legal claim as a squatter to your house?
Let me be clear. It's not a legal claim. What they can't do legally is remove you. Does
like
that make sense?
The police are going to show up and go, because in my world, Scott, that's a burglar. I can now, if I had a gun, I can now shoot you. You're now in my home and I don't know who you are and you don't have permission to be here.
Now, the threat of violence takes all of this off the table.
Right. Of course.
Everything changes when there is a presence of violence. And officers are able to remove the offender.
Yes.
There is no question.
But the squatters who've been able to exploit this, Scott, are not violent. The ones in that documentary will stare right at you and smile and say, what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you stop paying rent. Yeah, that's too bad. They just stop paying rent.
Well, we had a story, and it wasn't even a when you hear the word squatter, I think the mental image that you get is a homeless person, someone who hasn't showered in a while, has no money, literally the clothes on their back and what's ever in the backpack, right?
Yep.
That's what I think of when I think of a squatter. Well, there was a story not too long ago, maybe a year ago on the show, where a guy had a roommate.
Yeah.
He was renting out a room. I think you may have alluded to this story not too long ago. And the roommate just finally decided, you know what? I don't feel like paying you $450 a month anymore.
Yeah.
And the guy tried to kick him out. And he said, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
I live here. I get mail here. My toothbrush is here. My belongings are in this room.
And as the homeowner who is now being victimized, if you physically remove them, assault.
Yeah, that's right.
If you shut off the water, you're also taking their rights from them.
Right.
Despite the fact that it's your home.
You can't just shut off the water and the electricity.
Shut off the electricity? You're taking their rights from them.
I can't take away your rights from you, even though you're taking all of my property rights away from me.
Correct.
Until you prove it in the court of law, yeah. It's messed up.
I guarantee you, in most civilized nations, this is not the way it works. It can't be. This is so backwards and stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Quick break. Dana Wright.
Those are on the books.
They need to be taken off the books. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Bob in Grandview. Hey, Bob. Good afternoon, buddy.
What is up, my folks?
Hello.
What is up? Great show. You guys are doing a great job with my show.
Thank you. Thank you for letting us do it.
So I'm listening, and Scott, I love the way that you take a look at things, and you're trying to understand the legality. And I want to stress what Sam just said a few minutes ago. None of this is actually legal. It's just there's a difference between a police officer coming to the door and going, okay, there's been a violent crime or there's been a crime committed. Mm-hmm. I then need to arrest you and take you away from the property. There's a difference between that and an officer going, okay, I've assessed the situation. This is a civil case. What they are doing is illegal. However, it's not criminal, it is civil. Mm-hmm. Now that you know, that's picking bones if you ask me, but it's still the way that it is. Now, what I'm about to say, please do not take as that I'm defending any one side or the other. But as I was talking to Sam before he brought me on, we know of in the last four months, four major sized apartment complexes that have been shut down by their respective cities because they were, the owners were derelict, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Derelict,
yes,
in their duties of taking care of those residents. So understand that much of this has become civil concern, and much of this is you can't just throw out because there are so many bad ne'er-do-wells. They're,
yes,
out renting properties that they have, and somebody's got to protect these guys that are the family man that the landlord walks in and he goes, well, I don't like the fact that your child scribbled crayon all over the wall, so I'm going to evict you. You can't do that.
Right.
You have to prove that I broke the lease in the first place, which is, that's not a breaking of the lease. You know, and so there is the other much larger, believe it or not, as much as we've spent the most of this period talking about the one side, the other side is more prevalent. It's a larger deal where you have these dirt bags, if you will, that go out and rent out properties, and then they never take care of them.
Yeah.
And so you're going, okay, fine, look, I'll tell you what. You don't want to take care of the house? I'm going to quit paying you. So now me and my family is living in this house. And you know what? We don't have to pay the rent.
All right. Bob, you've been heard. I want to grab Nathan real quick because we're super short on time, but you made some really good points. Nathan, you get the last word. Hello.
I was just going to ask a question. What happened to the heir of the house? Say, like, somebody, the owner passes away, and then the next in line wants to get rid of the squatters. Is it also not possible?
I think you were going to ask what happens, like, to the 18-year-old Scott who is living with mom and dad and the failure to launch, and then they're just like, I'm not leaving. Or if they inherit that house. That's dicey, and I don't know if it's your own child. If those squatters' rights apply, I do know that we can all collectively agree no one is ever brushing their teeth in my home again under any circumstance. My own mother, after this conversation, could come for a visit and be like, hey, do you mind, just need to brush my teeth real quick? I'm going to go, no. Sam says that leads to squatters' rights.
Squatter Linda.
I wish it wasn't true.
Here's some scope. Get out. I'm never inviting anyone in again long as I live.
I'm just so baffled by the idiocy of the law itself,
mm-hmm,
that would allow
the loophole in the law.
It's legalized trespassing.
But to Bob's point, you know, initially it was to protect people from slumlord landlords. He just wanted to kick you out for no reason.
I understand, but usually with even with a slumlord landlord, you have a contract. You have a lease agreement.
True.
That would, you know, it might protect you as the tenant to some degree. Let's be honest with what those lease agreements really are for, and that's protect the owner. But still, you know, you can't just walk into a house. There are eviction laws, and that's fine. But if this is my property and you and I do not have an agreement of any capacity, I hate to keep using that term, then you've got to go when I tell you it's time for you to go.
I still love the idea of going out and buying some massive concert speakers and playing Baby Shark on volume 11.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or Duke 7-6 or whatever.
6-7.
There is no noise requirement inside these walls.
Quick break for the news. It's coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.